Come on, North Campus, help me welcome everybody that's joining us today. All of our campuses, Facebook Live, wherever you are in the world, we welcome you today. Now, if you're close enough to a Love and Truth Church and you're just staying at home watching Facebook Live, we need to have a little talk. Some of you in Africa and Philippines, that's okay, you don't come, but we welcome you today. We're glad you're with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And each week I get the opportunity not only to share here at our North Campus, but to all of our other campuses as well. We're glad you're there today. We are continuing on the subject of intersections that we've been on for the past several weeks, 16 to be exact. And today we're continuing that out of the book of John, the 11th chapter. So if you want to go there, let me kind of set it up for you today. We're talking about from fear to faith, all right? From fear to faith. I think all of us have experienced those moments in our life where fear entered in and took over. We began talking last week out of this setting of Scripture where John writes to us about some of Jesus's best friends, and their names were Lazarus and Mary and Martha. It's two sisters and their brother. And the word of the Lord says that Lazarus got sick, and they sent word to Jesus and said, the one that you love is sick. And so the word of the Lord says that when Jesus heard that, that he stayed where he was two more days. That's a little paradoxical scripture there to me. Because in most instances where you find Jesus encountering people, he sends his word and heal them. He goes to them immediately. But in this one, he kind of hangs out. And we talked last week because Jesus said, he made a statement, and everything hinges upon the understanding of that statement. Jesus said it this way. He said, this sickness does not end in death. Well, now what everybody heard was Lazarus isn't going to die. But that wasn't what Jesus said. Jesus said it's not going to end in death. See, there are a lot of things that happen in our life. Just to recap from last week, there are a lot of things that happen in our life that are tragic. They're not good. It's things that we come to. And if we're not careful, we think that the book is shut. But the book is not shut. It's just the ending of a chapter, and God's getting ready to write another chapter in your life. And I told you last week, it's a statement Craig Rochelle made years ago that I read, and he said this. He said that if God always met our expectations, then he never can exceed them. In other words, Mary and Martha were saying, Lord, we want a healing. And Jesus said, I want to do more than a healing. You want this, but I want to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I want to bring a resurrection into your life. And so I just want to say to some of you today, you feel like you're at the end, but I want to tell you, God's got something fresh. God's got something new. It is not going to end in death, right? And so that's what we talked about last week. I'd encourage you to go online, listen to it, watch it, and get it down in your spirit. Today, we've been giving intersections every week, and here's the intersection today, where brokenness and power intersect, where brokenness and the power of God come together. And what we see here is that Jesus spends this time with the disciples, and finally, after 2 days, he said, okay, let's go. And they go, and they get to the town where Mary and Martha are. And by this time, the Bible says that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now, how many of you know that during those 4 days that Lazarus has been dead, that a lot of fear has entered in to Mary and Martha's life, right? I mean, think about that. When you go through the loss of a loved one, you go through a tragedy in your life, it's almost sometimes like you can just feel fear, can't you? Ever had it just kind of, am I the only one, that where it almost settles in on you and you can almost reach up and touch it? And that's what's happening in their worlds. But Jesus is going to show up, and he's going to do some things. Now, I want to make a statement to you today, and in a few minutes we'll drill down into the passage, but I want you to get a couple of things first. And the first thing is this, only through faith does God make sense. Now just, you need to settle that pretty quickly, all right? Because if you're trying to get a mathematical equation to figure God out, you're never going to get there. So there has to come this realization that some things are by faith and by faith alone. Now here's what I have found through the years, and I think most of you would agree with this, is that God has the amazing ability to use broken things and to bring beauty out of them. The Old Testament says, for your ashes, he'll give you beauty. For your mourning, he'll give you joy. For 40 days and nights of rain, praise God, he'll give you some sunshine, right? And thank the Lord for the sunshine today. And here's what we need to settle today and understand. In every tough time of life, lessons are taught. In fact, let me say this to you. It's in those tough times that you learn the most. It's in those tough times that you trust God the most. It's in those tough times where you depend on him more than any other time in your life. Now, let's look in the chapter here. In chapter number 11, verse 20, I want to begin there, and then we'll just kind of work through some of this today. Here's what it says. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, we're going to see that Martha and Mary are two total different personalities as we look at this passage over the next couple of weeks here. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about three aspects of faith. One of them is, the first part is that when your faith is tested. Here's what you need to understand. Everybody's faith is going to be tested. The Word of God lets us know that quite clearly, that it's in the trial, it's in the fire, that your faith is tested and that it comes through on the other side as pure gold. Now, here's what I want you to understand just for a moment. The gift of life allows us the capacity to hurt. I'll let it dribble down in your subconscious, all right? The gift of life allows us to hurt. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want the capacity to hurt. I want everything to be wonderful. I want everything to be great. I want it just to be, there's no problems and no difficulties. No, no, no. You know what I've learned? I have learned that it's the nighttime that makes me appreciate the morning. It's the sickness that makes me appreciate health. It's the tough time in the marriage that makes me, that makes me appreciate when the marriage is going right and everybody is doing right and everything is moving along. It is those tough moments of life, it's those hurts, it's those things that really make life understandable and living. It's kind of this thing, and I hear some of you, and after the first service, they had some of you trying to talk your way out of this, but I hear people say, oh man, we go to so-and-so, and some of you go to the same place on vacation every year. I don't know why. God bless you. Keep going, all right? And you go every year, and you come back, and you say, one day, we're just going to move there. We're going to go down there, and we're going to get jobs, and we're just going to live there. Well, let me help you. You're going to mess it up. All right? Because when you move down there or up there or over there, if you're going to East Jahunga or wherever it is you got to go, right? It is going to change. It's not, you know, I mean, you go down there for a couple of weeks, hang out in a hotel, lay around the pool and eat everything you want. And, you know, and you think, well, that's what it's going to be. I promise you get there. Whatever it is, I promise you're going to mess it up. Why? Because now it becomes routine. Now it just becomes part of life that you're living. And so what I'm trying to say to us today is understand, if everything was wonderful all the time, you never would appreciate the wonderful times. And so the Lord allows us to go through some of those things. And one of the things that we have to understand in those moments of fear, in those moments of doubt, is that Jesus is involved even when we don't hear from him. 4 days they haven't heard from Jesus. In fact, it's been longer than that because they sent word, so it's probably 6 days since they've heard from him. They sent word to him. They haven't gotten any word back, and yet we know that Jesus is concerned about what's happening. Now, when your faith is tested, Martha shows you how to respond, all right? Here's what you've got to do. The Bible says that Martha went to him, all right? when I am in those moments of struggle, when I am in that moment of fear and doubt and brokenness and things aren't going the way that I want to, I must stay in His presence even when I don't understand. Come on, let me talk to you just a minute. I meet people all the time, and I'll say, man, I haven't seen you for a while. I haven't been to church. Well, Pastor, you got to understand, we've been going through a tough time. My mom's been sick, or this has been going on. I lost my job, all that, and we just haven't felt like coming to church. Let me just work with you a minute. That's the time you need to be in church. That's the time you need to be in the presence of God. That's the time you need to be hanging out with God's people, because the Bible says where we come together in His name, there He is in our midst. When everything's going good, you might can miss a week or two or three. You shouldn't, but you might could. But boy, when it is tough, when things aren't going right, that's when I want to run into His presence. I want to get right where He is so that He can speak to me in this moment. Now, here's what I want to say to you, is that when you are going through these kind of situations, and I'll work this out just a little bit more in a second, but I can't question God's character and then expect to receive His power. All right? I just can't believe God did me like this. You ever heard that? Come on, you know you have. Well, I prayed, Pastor. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing happened. And so I even gave a little tithe money. I dropped a little extra something in the bucket today and nothing. See, what we're saying in that moment is we're saying the character of God is not true. And when you say God's character is not true, you're in trouble. Because it's in that moment that your faith has turned into bitterness. And the Bible says that you can't hold bitterness in your life, because bitterness springs up, and not only does it hurt you, the Bible says it defiles many people who are around you. And we all know people like that. There are some people, listen, let me help some of you. There are some people, you need to lose their phone number. Hallelujah. All right, come on. One of the best things, I just happen to have my cell phone, I don't usually bring it up here. One of the best things on here is when that name comes up. You can just go, let me pray, oh Lord. No, I'm not answering, right? There's some people, why? Because you don't need their bitterness. They're just going to spew it all over. You don't need that in your life. Now, what we find is our faith is going to be tested, but in the midst of that, when our faith is tested, then God is going to teach us something. So the next aspect here is we're going to see that faith is taught in the very next few verses here as God begins to deal in this situation here. Now, here's what she says. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, okay? And so she's working this. Now, but watch the next statement. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know even now. Now, I'm going to say something and just get what I'm going to say. Some of you need to get down inside of you, but I know even now. All right? So some of you just need to settle some but I know even now, right now. All right? It may not look good. It may look like it's dead. It may look like it's over. It may look like things are never going to turn back around. But I know even now, in my spirit, in my life, I know even now that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, we're looking here how faith is taught. Our faith gets tested, and then God begins to teach us in those moments. Now, here's what I want to say to you. God doesn't mind tough questions. All right? A lot of us, and maybe most of us who've gone to church very much at all, have been taught that you should never ask God questions. Ever heard that? Don't question God. Why? Well, you just shouldn't, because He's God. He doesn't tell you not to question Him. There's nowhere in Scripture where God says, don't ask me questions. right? How many of you have ever had kids? Do I need to break that down? How many of you know your kids got some questions? Like, what's the moon made out of? And I mean, they got some deep theological questions, right? My grandson a while back was, he goes to a Christian school in California, and he came home, and he was trying to explain the Godhead to my daughter. And they were having this discourse about Jesus and God and all this, and Graham said, he said, "Oh, Mom," he said, "you know," he said, "there's God and Jesus and that other guy." Right? That's about as good as I get on it anyway. So God and Jesus and that other guy. So there's this, you know, in all of our lives, we've got these questions. We're trying to figure out. We're trying to make it happen. And God doesn't mind us bringing our problem to him. He wants Martha to come with the problem. Come with the difficulty. Bring my problem to him. But here's the deal. She admits the problem. Now I got to say something, and I don't want to get in too much trouble and don't want to bind anybody's spirit. But we've had this teaching in the body of Christ that says you can't acknowledge when you got a problem, because that means you don't have faith. And so what you've got to say is, everything's wonderful and everything's great and I'm anointed and I'm empowered and I'm strengthened. Listen, that's all good, but Lazarus is dead. Now, you can say Lazarus is not dead, but he's in the grave 4 days. So you can keep confessing he's not dead, but he stinks. Is that not what it says? Come on, you read on down there. It says, he's, don't open that up. He stinks, all right? Why? Because there are things in your life that it's not a lack of faith to say, I've got a problem. All right? I acknowledge the problem, but even now, I know. Come on. But even now I know. Here's the problem. But even now I know, God, you can raise him from the dead. Whatever you want to do, however you want to turn this situation around, whatever you want to do in this moment. And so I've got to get that down inside of me. I've got to settle that today. Not that I ignore the situation, not that I act like the problem is not there, but that I am in that moment of saying, here's the situation, but even now I know that you're able to do something. See, what we have to do is that we have to always remember we are finite and he is infinite. All right? And I want you to get this. I say this ever so often because I don't want you to forget it. To the infinite, all things finite are equal. See, there are no big problems and little problems to God. There are no big prayer requests and little prayer requests to God because he is infinite. He is above all. He is the creator of all that there was. He was before the beginning, and he will be after the ending. So whatever it is you're going through, it can be as people say, I just don't want to bother the Lord until I get something big. Well, what's big to God? Come on. What's big to the Lord? There's nothing that's big to God. So what you've got to do is that you've got to confess your faith just like she did. You've got to say, I am no longer going to hold on to the past and all of this. I am going to say, Lord, here's the situation, but I know that you are able. And so I trust you. Now, one of the problems that I've seen through the years, especially in spirit-filled, quote-unquote, circles, is that we're waiting for formulas, okay? Let's say it this way. If I were to write a book on 6 steps to always get your prayer answered, I could sell all kinds of them, all right? Or 18 scriptures to quote so God will show up, or whatever. And if you don't believe I'm telling the truth, just go to a Christian bookstore and you'll see those kind of books all over, all right? Now, there's some, a little bit of validity to some of that. The problem is this: there is no set phrase or formula that guarantees God will answer how I want him to. Let me prove it from this setting of scripture. Mary and Martha have been with Jesus on enough times where they have seen him minister and they know how he ministers. And so he speaks the word to somebody, they get healed. He walks over and lays his hand on somebody, and they're raised from the dead. He does all kinds of things, but he never leaves them in the moment of sickness. He always heals them. He always delivers them. He always sets them free. They send word to him expecting, at the very least, they expected him to send his word that Lazarus is healed. He doesn't do it. Why? Because humanity, especially our Western mindset, tries to come up with formulas on how to get God to do what we want him to do. And let me say this to you here, Pastor, carefully. The moment you can manipulate God, he ceases to be God. He is God, I'm not. Now, are there certain things I need to do, certain ways I need to pray? All of that I believe in, but there are no specific formulas that's always going to produce what I want produced in the moment. They want Lazarus healed. Jesus said, I got something better. I'm going to let him die, and then I'm going to get him back up. But we don't understand that because we're wanting God to answer in this 2x4 world. And God says, I want to explode your world and I want to do something that is greater, more than you can imagine or even think. The third aspect of faith is when faith is triumphant. Beginning in the 38th verse, and for the sake of time, I'll be quick with this. It talks about that Jesus is deeply moved and he says to them, take away the stone. And at that moment it's where Martha said, Lord, don't take away the stone. He's dead 4 days. It's just not going to be good. It's going to be a bad odor. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe in me, you're going to see the glory of God? And so in that moment, they took away the stone. All right. So in that moment, faith becomes triumphant. Faith moves in to a new level. Here's what we have to understand. Even though God doesn't cause my brokenness, he can use it. All right, listen to me. Did God bring death into this earth? Go read it. Genesis. God tells Adam and Eve, listen, it's all your stuff. Everything is yours, every bit of it. But I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to put a tree that's a tree of choice, the tree of life and death. And he says, the day that you eat it, the day you make that choice to eat of it, guess what's going to happen? Death's going to come in. All right? Did God do that? No, man did that. All right? Did God cause Lazarus to die? No. Sin caused Lazarus to die. I didn't say Lazarus sinned. I'm saying the world's sin brought death onto his body. So when Jesus shows up, we've got too many people blaming God for what God isn't doing. Why is it that you don't get up every day when everything is good? Why don't you go around saying, look what God did, look what God did, look what God did, look what God did. But then all of a sudden, one thing negative. Come on. One bad thing happens and our response is, I can't believe God let that happen to me. Could it be that God didn't let it happen to you, that you live in a fallen world and there are systems that are in creation that are working, and that's why we experience sickness, and that's why there's murder, and that's why there's racism, and that's why there's divorce, and that's why all of these things that we deal with on an ongoing basis, God isn't causing those. They happen because of the fallen nature of man. Here's what you've got to understand. I love the story of the man who brings his son to the disciples for healing. And the Bible says that they couldn't heal the little boy. He would have seizures and throw himself into the fire. The scripture said, the word of God says that he had an evil spirit that tormented him. And so when Jesus gets there, Jesus asked the father a question that's just really a great question. Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And I love this response. The father says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." We have too many people in the body of Christ who think that their healing, their deliverance, their marriage, their whatever is all up to them. If I could just have a little more faith. Come on, you've heard it. I've heard people who are suffering with a sickness. I've heard people say to them, "If you would just have more faith, God would heal you." And I just want to smack somebody right then, in Jesus' name, of course. If you just had more faith, your marriage wouldn't end it in divorce. If you just had more faith, if you just said, "Wait a minute, there are those moments in our life, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I don't have it all together. I don't understand it. I don't know what you're up to, and I don't understand why." But here's what some of us need to get a hold of today. At some point, there is nothing I can do but step back and let God. I can't pray anymore. I don't have any more verses to quote. I don't have any more songs to sing. I don't have any more sermons to preach. All I can do is step back and say, "Okay, God, Lazarus is dead, but I know even now you're able, but I don't know what you're going to do in this moment." That's where trust enters in that we talked about last week. See, faith involves some things real quickly. Faith, first of all, involves my cooperation. Verse 39, he said, "Take away the stone." I've got to be willing to be involved. See, what I want to get you from is I want to get you from the place of living in fear. Whether that fear comes from the enemy who is trying to steal your joy and steal your peace and steal your walk with God, or that fear is that you're not measuring up with enough faith. Well, if I had just had enough faith. I mean, how many times have we said, "Well, if we had just had enough faith, so-and-so wouldn't have happened to so-and-so." So that means that the responsibility is all mine. No, it's not. My cooperation is all I can bring to the table. All I can do, listen to what I'm going to say, all I can do is whatever it is that I feel like the Holy Spirit guides me to do, and after that, it's out of my hands and it's in God's hands. And sometimes he doesn't do it the way I think that it ought to be done. Do you remember the first time you prayed a prayer and it wasn't answered? Anybody? You remember your first unanswered? I remember my first unanswered prayer. I can still tell you. I can remember it just as clearly as I'm a missionary's kid. Most of you know I was born in Africa. We lived in the jungle, and so my dad was a pilot. I got to go out of the jungle once a month. That's why I act the way I do. Once a month, I got to go to the. Took me out. All right, me and Tarzan, we got to go out. All right, And I can remember I was supposed to, on this, I don't know what day it was, Monday, Tuesday, whatever it was supposed to, but you got to understand, in Liberia, 6 months dry and you get no rain, and then 6 months rain, and it pretty much rains every day. Well, you can't fly a little tri-pacer in, a thunderstorm. You just don't do it. But I remember as a little child, because I knew I was supposed to go to town the next day, praying. I'm probably 4 or 5 years old, and I'm praying. And I'm praying that it's not going to rain the next day. And I get up the next day, and guess what? It is stinking raining like crazy. And I didn't get to leave the jungle. All right? Now, here's the deal. That was when I was 4 or 5. But guess what? I still remember it like it was yesterday. Because in our minds, we want a formula that says, if I believe, I can receive. And yet sometimes we believe. See, the next part of your faith is have belief. All right? Jesus says to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So I've got to believe. My faith doesn't lay down and give up. But what my faith does is allow God to be God. So that means in the moment, it may not appear like what I want. There's some of you sitting here and some of you watching me today who even as a child, what I just talked about, as a child, you prayed that you wouldn't be abused one more time. You prayed that somebody would come along and love you. And now you're grown. And now you've got it all together on the outside, but there's still that part inside of you that feels like God didn't do what you needed Him to do. And I've come along to tell you today, He was there even in the midst of a horrible situation. And you can't allow the circumstances of a broken human being and a broken system that we live in to dictate your belief in God. God doesn't always answer the way we think that He ought to answer. But I promise you, it's not going to end at that point. And what I've come along to tell you today, and I've stopped this whole sermon for somebody because I didn't do this in the first service, but I've come along to tell you today that in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering, that there is a God who loves you more than you will ever understand, and who so wants to wrap you in His loving arms. And it doesn't mean that you didn't go through the pain. It doesn't mean you didn't go through the heartache. It doesn't mean that Lazarus doesn't die. It doesn't mean that fear doesn't enter in. But you move in your life from living in a place of fear to beginning to live in a place of faith. And saying, God, even in the darkest hour, I know that I can trust You. It may not turn out the way I want it to, but I'm trusting You today. The last part of that is we do what we can, and then His power shows up. In that moment, the Bible says that Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And it said the dead man came out, all bound up, but he came out of the grave. His power in our life is the greatest thing that we can ever experience. But there are those moments, sometimes, and I close with this, sometimes all I can do is hold on. Ever been there? I don't have any words to say. I don't have any songs to sing. I don't have any scriptures to quote. I don't have any great ideas to give you. Listen, there are sometimes, I've been doing this a long time, there are sometimes as a pastor, I walk up and all I'm doing is holding on. Just saying, Jesus, if You don't show up today, it's going to be a bigger mess than it normally is. Because I'm just holding on. Because somebody, today, you're at the end of the rope. I'm telling you, hold on. Don't give up. The answer is still coming. You just got to hold on. Not only do I have to hold on, I have to reach out to Him. I have to be willing to say, Lord, I need You in my life. I need You to show up in this moment. And lastly, I need to trust Him in these situations. There's some of us today who are in that place where we need the Lord to show up. And here's what I've found, ladies and gentlemen, is in my life at least, those moments that I least expected it was when my faith was tested the most. It seemed like everything was going good, and then wham, everything falls apart. And it's in that trying time, and I want to say this to you, and then we're going to pray together. It's in that trying moment that the obvious gets obscured by the immediate. Don't miss it. The obvious is God is God. The immediate is my brother's dead. The obvious is God's in control. The immediate is my body's in pain. The obvious is whatever is happening is that God's still God. The immediate is that thing that is breaking your world apart right now. But here's what I want to tell you. In that moment, instead of running away from Him, it should drive us into His arms so that He can hold us, love us, and help us in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. Amen.